The LBC Business Hour.
With BT, helping you to be there for the moments that matter in business.
Hello, I'm Clive Bull, and welcome to the LBC Business Hour podcast, your chance to get some advice on how to start or scale up a business. On the panel this week, Emma Jones, small business advisor and founder of Enterprise Nation. And Rachel Dines is here, who's an expert in SEO, and she's from Shake It Up Creative. Later on as well, we'll be talking to the new commercial banking director at TSB, Richard Davis, about what banks can do to help small businesses. First, though, let's talk about digital marketing, SEOs. Emma, how important is this whole area?
We do, my goodness. In the Business Hour, been running this version for what, 6 or 7 months? And it amazes me as to how many calls come through during the hour on the topic of search engine optimization. I've got a website. How do I get people to it? How do I launch a website? But it's right. And I leave every hour thinking it's great that these questions are coming in. Because, of course, what businesses recognise now, somebody said to me the other day, you know, does anyone start non-tech businesses anymore? And I said, well, not really, because whether you're making jam, whether you're making footwear, if you're selling books, if you're doing legal services, whatever profession it is that you're starting as a business, you absolutely have to have a presence online. And that doesn't necessarily have to be your own website. That does help. But the use of social media is absolutely paramount, not only to connect with customers, but also to keep your existing customers happy. And we've seen this week, you know, big brands do it brilliantly well. KFC and their lovely kind of response to social to all of their customers. So to them, it was this immediate outlet to say, we're sorry, we messed up, but hey, customers, stick with us. And small businesses, it kind of levels the playing field for them because they don't have big company budgets. But what you do have, using things like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, building a great website, is you've still got access to just as many people.
Yeah, I mean, I think KFC got off quite lightly there, really, and quite cleverly, almost using it to their advantage when, to me, it looked like incompetence.
It was brilliant.
But it was the chicken shop with no chicken. That's just business incompetence.
But you know, it's interesting because with the whole press piece, and I know it was covered a lot when they then took out the full page ads, the brilliance of that, and I think it can sometimes get lost with slightly bigger businesses, is just that they said, hands up, we admit we did wrong, we're apologising to our customers. And at the end of the day, customers always just want to be treated like regular human beings. Yeah. They want to be shown respect. And so just that immediate, and in fact, it's advice we quite often give to any small business who gets a customer complaint. There was a brilliant entrepreneur, still a brilliant entrepreneur, called Julian Richer, runs a company called Richer Sounds. And he wrote a book.
Very good company.
Amazing company. And he's written a couple of fantastic books, one in which he says, when customers used to come into his shop and they'd say, this equipment is wrong, or I've got a complaint. In other shops, the attendant would say, well, did you use it badly? Well, did you open the box before you kind of did it? So they would put the blame back on the customer. Whereas in Richer Sounds, the attendants were taught to say, you immediately just say, I am so sorry, we will immediately replace it, we'll immediately kind of pay you back. And this is advice we give to small businesses. If you do something wrong, even if you haven't done anything wrong and the customer is complaining, you've got to remember the customer is king. Fess up, or even don't fess up, but desperately apologise.
Okay, well, let's talk about SEO then, Rachel. Explain for those who are just tuning in and don't run a business, don't know anything about it, what do we mean by SEO?
So SEO stands for search engine optimization, and really it's just the process that you go through to get your website visible online.
Because we have a lot of people, and I'm sure Emma gets it all the time, people saying, how do I get my business to come up first on Google? I mean, that's basically what we're talking about, is it?
Yes, it is. But really, it's not just about first. It's about what we call ranking for various key phrases as high as possible. Lots of people are after that first place position, and it's very hard to achieve without a big budget.
And how complicated is it then? Is there a sort of science to it?
There is a series of things that you can do both on-site and off-site. It can get very complicated when you're essentially bidding for very competitive terms, but there are a series of basic things that you can do as a small business using free tools, using online learning to get started and start getting visible.
Would you say, and when I'm hoping you would say yes to this, because when listeners call up and say, I have a website and now I'm looking to get traffic to it, my response to that is always that, simply put, when Google's out looking to kind of rank you, they send out these search spiders across the web, and what they're looking for is good content, good strong links, and they're looking about, are people talking about you? And the more that they can find in that kind of way, the more they reward you by saying, right, you'll come up higher. So, you know, things that you might want to do is write content for other people and refer back to you. You want to be on social media so Google can see, oh, look, they're quite lively, they're quite current. Would you say it is, you know, for small businesses who don't have huge budgets, is it quite a lot around the content that they're generating that helps them get higher up in the results?
It is, but a big mistake that small businesses seem to make is actually not doing their key phrase research in the beginning. There's free tools out there like Yoast on WordPress. And at my company, Shake It Up Creative, we actually have customers coming to us saying, oh, I've optimised my site, but I'm not getting traffic. I don't understand what I've done wrong. And we go into their Yoast system, we have a look, and they've perhaps got one word phrases in there, and it's just too generic, and there's no research behind it, and the tool is a guidance tool. So it says, yeah, you've done a great job, you've got the green light, but actually they're not properly optimising because they've got nothing, no substance behind it.
So that's kind of, if I make freshly baked scones, the kind of key phrases that I want to be having people coming to my website for, I guess, are kind of freshly baked scones, English scones type thing. Is that what you're kind of saying? I have to, as the business owner, think, what are people going to be searching for when they're looking for what it is that I've got to offer?
Yes, yeah, so there's a process that you can go through, and you can talk to your existing customers and your clients. You can look at the competitors, see what they're doing online, and then use the tools to research around the subject areas. And generally, it won't just be the obvious phrases, it'll be connected phrases, and we don't optimise pages for one term anymore. We use a collection and they work together, and that's how optimisation is successful.
How do you spell Yoast?
Y-O-A-S-T.
What's a Yoast?
It's a plugin for WordPress websites. It's free. There is an advanced version, but small businesses can go far with just using the first one. What I would say is, it's not the Bible. It is a guidance tool. So if once you complete the fields, it'll give you either a red, amber, or green light, tell you how good a job you're doing. But if you can't get it 100%, I wouldn't, you know, stress over that. It's again, it's just there to help.
Guidance tool.
Yeah.
Would you say that it is as vital as being the difference between a success and a failure for a business, though, getting that side of things right?
I believe it is now, because it's such a competitive landscape. Even if you're just online, not selling, you know, you're just having a brand presence online, you still have competitors locally, further afield, and it's the front door to your business now. So it's important.
Well, let's get some questions coming in. 0345 6060 973. If you've got a question about digital, about search engines, any of that area online, feel free to call and put a question as well. 0345 6060 973. Paul in Battersea. Hello, Paul. Hello, Paul. You there? Oh, dear. He sounds...
He's doing his SEO.
That sounds very wrong to me. Are you there, Paul? No, he's not. We'll get him back on a better line. I've heard that noise before.
Really? It's when you said Paul in Battersea, and I was like, wow, you sound literally as if you're underwater. But I can just imagine whether he's just picked up with his tip and he's like, oh my God, I have to do my search phrases first. But Rachel, not getting too technical, I do have a question for you, because this did come up on a previous show, actually, that you've mentioned WordPress blogs and websites. And WordPress, of course, is a brilliant way for any small business, again, on a budget, to kind of start blogging, get online. When it comes to search engine optimization, do you think that if a business has a WordPress website, that they're going to come up higher in the results than if they have like a template website like Squarespace and Moonfruit type thing? Because this has come up before. People, yeah. the kind of the consensus seems to be that WordPress is the way to go. Would you agree?
I would agree, just from the point of view that actually there's more ability there, more functionality to actually optimise a WordPress website. With Squarespace and Wix and the template builder sites, you do have fields for the metadata, but they are quite restricted. Squarespace a bit more so than Wix. So because of that, if you don't know how to code into to actually hard code things in there, then you are more limited, and therefore you can't optimize as well, and therefore you won't be seen as often. So that's why, really.
Well, good news about Richer Sounds. Malcolm in Hampton Hill says, I wrote a complimentary letter to Richer Sounds a while ago, and I had a delightful personally handwritten card from Julian Richer thanking me for taking the trouble. That meant a lot to me. That is customer service,
wow.
Isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's funny. It's just sometimes it can be the smallest things. It is a case of, you know, a written letter acknowledging something. And you have to think it's because it's quite rare these days that people actually do get that good kind of customer service. So you don't have to do that much to kind of stand out. But good for you, Julian Richer, still going
absolutely
strong.
And it works around the other way as well. I mean, if you have a bad experience, and particularly if you're treated unfairly, then a lot of people will just say, I'm never going to give them my business ever again.
Well, and also, of course, for every business owner, what they do tend to know is, I mean, we're talking tonight about how great social media is, how amazing it is to be online. Of course, what the downside to that is, if you get it wrong, it is so much easier now for your customers to say this is a terrible brand and to spread that very quickly. So this, that, you know, we very rarely talk about the downsides of online, but that would be one of them, is your customers can say, you know, don't go near them and share it very quick. And it's just the quick thing is that customers tend to talk more about bad experiences than good ones. So it's the job of the entrepreneur to create the good ones.
The LBC Business Hour.
With BT, helping you to be there for the moments that matter in business.
David in Peterborough. Hello, David.
Hello, good evening. Thank
evening.
You for taking my call.
Okay.
Just a little bit of background. I have 40 years' experience in financial services, mostly in compliance, operational risk and governance. And over the last 20 years, I've been running my own consultancy business, providing interim management and consultancy services. And I've held control functions from the FCA, such as CF10, often in change management environments. Nearly all of my business has come by way of introduction or referral, and I'm not digitally adept. But I'd now like to use my skills much more locally in Peterborough, Cambridge and Leicester, broadening out from financial services without losing touch with it altogether, and perhaps looking for non-executive directorships, supporting change management, mentoring. The point is, I really would like some pointers and tips on how to break into a more local market, what's the most effective form of digital marketing for me. I'm not on social media. I have a profile on LinkedIn and have done for a long time, but that's about all there is. Don't have a website. And I don't have, you know, any real local presence.
But David, I think you do. Well, first of all, I would say that with your skills and expertise, I think you'd be a great find for a small business owner. Is it for a small business you would like to be a non-exec for, or for a slightly larger concern?
Small to medium.
Okay, great. Because I think what you have got to offer, the great thing about small businesses is we all love running them, but the things that you've just mentioned, like financial skills and governance, tend to kind of go to the bottom of the list when you're so busy kind of focused on the sales, etc. So definitely your skills have got, you know, kind of relevance for the businesses. In terms of how to then go about raising your profile locally, I think LinkedIn is the right social media platform for you, because actually small business owners, when they do look for non-exec directors, LinkedIn is the place that they do go to look. But you might want to, I say, hang out in the most professional way, hang out with businesses in your area. So you mentioned Cambridge and Peterborough, and I know they're very live environments. There's kind of local support, business support networks there. So in Cambridge, there's something called the Cambridge Business Lounge, run by a great entrepreneur called Ed Goodman. Definitely be worth connecting with him, because he has lots of small businesses who come and co-work in his space. He hosts lots of events, and I'd say kind of go to those. In Peterborough, again, you've got something called Opportunity Peterborough, which I don't know if you've come across, which is like a business, again, business support network. They do loads of things for their local small businesses. They host lots of free events. And I think if you get out to a couple of those with your business cards, with your LinkedIn profile, it would be a great way to meet business owners. And just the one other thing you might want to consider, I know you're saying small businesses is where you want to give your expertise, but the government is always looking for people who've got years of experience. So there's a website called Public Appointments, where they're always looking for people to sit on boards of charities, trusts, government organisations, etc. So because you've got so many skills, it might just be worth having a look at that as well. So hang out in your local area at things like Cambridge Business Lounge, Opportunity Peterborough, and check out Public Appointments as well. I'm sure people will be desperate for your skills and services.
That's all very helpful. On my LinkedIn profile, as I say, I've been on LinkedIn for quite a few years, and to be honest, I use just a basic service, none of the premium services. Do you think that they're worth using?
Well, I think if as long as business owners can find you, do you have an email address and things like that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, I think as long as if you're meeting a small business owner and you're kind of saying, here's my expertise, is this the kind of thing you're looking for? As long as they can reference check and just kind of check you, literally check you out in terms of your background, then on LinkedIn, dare I say, you can do that for free. So you can just show your history, maybe get a couple of testimonials on there from previous clients who can say, this is what David has done for us and we found it a really great service. So I think you can do that without paying. Sorry, LinkedIn, but you can do that with kind of outpaying the higher charge. And dare I say, check out our company, Enterprise Nation. We have thousands of small business owners who are always looking for advice from businesses like yours, and there's a marketplace on there again when you can just create a profile and come to the attention of these business owners.
All right, David, thank you very much indeed for that. Let's go to Binium in Dartford. Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hello, what would you like to say?
Hello, hi, good evening. My name is Binium. I'm just try to find out, you know, how to promote my website. I'm just finishing, you know, my website and created, you know, limited company. So I don't know how to, even I haven't, you know, put it on Google yet. So I just, if you could guide me, you know, how to promote my website.
Yes, of course. So the first things you need to do is make use of the free tools. So make sure you've got a Google account. Get your Google My Business profile up and running. Lots of things you can add there, like your opening hours and images. Make sure that you're in the right place on the map.
Yeah.
Also, make sure that you've got a fast website and that it's mobile friendly, because you will be penalised in the search engine results if you've got a slower website or one that's not, you know, working so well on different devices.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to start looking into your optimization. So do some keyword research. There are some free tools and free trials available. Develop a list of key phrases that you can then narrow down, assign to each page of the website, and start optimizing. Once you've got that key phrase list, it is actually a very valuable tool because you can then use it within content, so blog posts, social media posts, and other things that you're doing online.
Do you know what your key phrases might be?
I was just going to say, and tell us what your website domain is.
Tell us what it is.
Dubai Estate.
Pardon?
Dubai Estate.
Spell it for us, Binium.
Well, Dubai is,
the country, Dubai, yeah.
Yeah, and the estate, which I'm trying to sell, you know, property, off-plan properties.
You're trying to sell properties in Dubai?
No, in UK.
Two people. What? I'm really sorry. What's the Dubai connection?
Well, the developers are actually promoting, and so I'm getting commission from selling their property, you know, off-plan properties in Dubai.
Ah, I see.
To the UK customer.
So, who are the customers that you want to attract? British customers.
Yes, and mainly it's British customer, and anybody who is interested anywhere in the world as well. So. My website is actually, it can go anywhere.
Can I ask you what domain extension you've got?
Extension for what?
On your website address, is it a .com?
.co.uk, but I'm trying to get .com as well.
Okay, yeah, good idea. So if you're also targeting that overseas market, then I would get the other domain and have that on an instant redirect as well.
Yeah. Can I merge them together, you know, instead of changing the domain name, just, you know, put .co.uk and .com at the same time?
Yeah, so you can have them load as one, if that makes sense. Then they're still two separate domains, but the one person searching would enter one domain and then it will instantly refer to the other domain. So choose which one you want as your primary. I'd perhaps suggest that you actually go with the .com for that and then it refer to the .co.uk.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Good luck with it. Thank you very much. Is that a general bit of advice then, that you should always go for the .com if you can? I mean, there's so many different extensions now.
Yeah, I mean, .com is a top-level domain. That the next best to that is a country-level domain, so .co.uk obviously for here, and if you're in France, .fr and so on. And then after that, you've got the other types of domains, and there are plenty available now, .biz and .org and all of those.
We're massive believers in .com, she says, on enterprisenation.com, only because for us, it's always built that kind of trust and credibility from outset. But the other interesting thing is... which doesn't often come up on the Business Hour, but it's a really interesting finding from customers. So again, if we kind of go back to what customers look for when they buy, is if a customer emails you or you give a customer a business card and it's got like a Hotmail address on, it doesn't inspire much confidence in customers.
No.
So
no.
One of the great things about having a .com or a professional domain name is what you quite quickly want to do is then put your email, so you've got a professional email address, because there's so much research that shows customers are much more likely to buy from you if they think you've got a professional email address. Because if you've got a Hotmail address and a mobile number, the customer will just think, oh my goodness, they're here today, gone tomorrow, with my money in their pocket.
Yeah, you're right, Emma. And I think people don't realise sometimes that actually you can buy a mailbox. So if you're not ready to have your fully fledged website up online, then buy yourself a professional mailbox and then you can ditch the Hotmail address and be professional straight away.
Is it just Hotmail or was it all of those?
We should stop.
Not discriminating.
Gmail and...
Well, it's funny, mind you, this is terrible, and this is me. This
people
is kind
are more
of my...
suspicious of Hotmail, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. Yahoo, do you remember that one?
Yes.
That one's still around, and I shouldn't be so terrible. When it's a Gmail, I actually think, oh, somebody's quite hip that they've got a Gmail account, whereas the other ones I kind of don't. But regardless, we have it ourselves kind of in the business, is we are much more likely to buy if the person's email address matches their website, which matches their company brand. It just increases that level of confidence.
The LBC Business Hour.
With BT, helping you to be there for the moments that matter in business.
LBC and the Business Hour. I'm Clive Bull. We'll take more calls shortly, 0345 6060973. But joining us now is the TSB's Commercial Banking Director, Richard Davis, who's here to talk about an announcement they've just made, which is involving small businesses. Richard, good evening. Thank you for coming in.
Good evening, Clive. Thank you for having me.
So tell us more about, first of all, about your latest initiative then.
Sure. So I joined TSB a few months ago and been out talking to customers about what they really want to see from banks. And there's something about delivering the basics of banking well. And there's also something about going beyond just the basics of banking and hopefully helping people to thrive more broadly as a business. And I've got a huge amount of time for what Emma and Enterprise Nation have been doing in that space. So I really wanted to form a partnership with Enterprise Nation and help bring the benefit of what they deliver, particularly in terms of helping businesses embrace digital more to help grow their business.
Yeah, I mean, digital seems to be, if you had to pick one area, and I know this from this program, because almost every week people are saying, give us more information about digital. And it's such a crucial part of most new businesses, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. I think whether you're new or established, it's a really important thing. I mean, the research I've seen says that half of small businesses have a website, so that's half that could have an opportunity by getting one. And we know that over 70% of businesses are asking for more help in this space more broadly, be it digital marketing, be it e-commerce, be it some of the tools that can actually help you be more productive as a business.
So, and your background, as you say, you're new to TSB, but your background has been heavily focused on helping SMEs.
Yes, for sure. So I guess I came to TSB because I really saw an opportunity with TSB's national reach. And they've got a new technology platform coming in the second quarter of this year. And with that, a chance to really help bring more competition to business banking right across the UK. We think that there is too much concentration currently in the market, with the big five banks having over 90% of the market. So we really want to offer more choice and do better things for small businesses.
So what in particular are you offering them? What are you going to do?
Yeah, so I think you've got to start from the basics of banking. I think you've got to offer really great value for small businesses. And I think there's also often a real frustration from a small business around the level of service and too many errors creeping in. I was talking to a guy who owns a marketing consultancy in London recently, and he was telling me how he was trying to update the mandate, so the directors of the company on the mandate, and it took five goes of getting that right, which just isn't acceptable. So I think it's about getting those basics really right of value and service. Now, building on that with things like what we're announcing with Enterprise Nation to help people go beyond that.
And what about investment? Because people look to banks and they want you to put money in. Of course, there are lots of ways of getting investment now. Should they still turn to the bank?
I think choice is really important around lending, and we really believe in providing customers choice around lending. So we do want to have our own lending products that customers can access easily, quickly, so decisions in minutes, not weeks, at a good price. But we also do believe that customers should have a choice of other loan products out in the market. So we do believe in offering access to some of the leading fintech providers out there, so customers really choose the best thing for their needs.
Is there money out there, though, via you or via the government or anybody who is there the money there on offer for people who've got an idea and want the backing?
So I think there's two types of money out there. There's loans, there's debt, and there's equity. I think on the loan side, there is a need for, I think, greater trust in banking to have greater demand come forwards from small businesses. I think there's been clearly a number of scandals, sadly, out in the industry, and that's damaged a lot of the trust there. I think if banks want to lend more money, they've got to restore that trust and earn that trust. But I think there are wider sources of finance out there, fintechs, alternative finance, as well as venture capital on the equity side. And I think having that diverse range of finance is really important.
What about the basics, like opening up a business account? People tell me, again, on this programme, that it's a bit of a palaver, and some banks are making it incredibly complicated. Are you trying to improve that part of things?
Yeah, 100%. So we're actually investing quite a lot of money at the moment in two things that we've just mentioned. So one is account opening. Again, real desire to get people able to have an account approved within minutes. And also on lending, again, same thing. People don't have the time to wait around for hours, send paperwork backwards and forwards. So we are currently working on that, looking to launch those later on this year.
How relevant do you think it is to have a local bank, a branch that you walk into? Or I don't know, is that just old-fashioned now that we can do it all on our phones?
I think a lot of small businesses want the choice. So the research we've done says that maybe only 10, 15% of small businesses want to have that purely mobile experience. A lot want to have that human touch when they need it. Often at that sort of key moment in your business, could be starting your business, could be the first time you raise significant finance. And so we do believe in that digital plus branch model.
Great. Well, good luck with the whole thing. I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot of exciting ideas there. Richard, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Clive.
It's the Business Hour here on LBC with BT. And let's go to another call. Laura in Beckenham. Hello, Laura.
Hello.
Hello. What can we do for you then?
Hi. I'm a jeweller, and I've got a lovely stall on the Greenwich Indoor Market in London. And I've set up a website, and it's called To The Drive, which is as in the number, T-W-O, The Drive. Now, many people have told me that's a really, really bad name.
It's so weird that you should say that, Laura.
You were just thinking it, weren't you?
Well, no, it's funny. And I know you're going to finish off with your question, but literally when we were just off air, one of the things we were saying is kind of lesson number one is don't have a domain name where you have to spell it every time. Oh. Don't have a domain name with numerals. But go on, carry on. Was that your question? You know, is that the right domain?
Well, it was part of it, yes, because I've had that now for, you know, a few years. And so a lot of my regular customers keep coming back to it. And I realise that you can change the name. But I'm thinking, when I try and think of a name, and they're saying you should use a story related to silver and gold and the, you know, the silversmithing and it just gets a bit complicated and I get a bit worried.
What was the name again? Can you tell us again?
Oh, my goodness. It's
two.
It's an address. T2 the drive, as in the number two.
And T-W-O, then the drive.
Okay.
T2 the drive.
Yeah. I was just going to say, do you know if the numeric form is also available? Could you then redirect? So if people spell it or if people use the number, you've covered both bases?
Oh, I didn't
have
know.
You had a look?
No, I was just
it's not coming up.
Your web expert here, Clive Bull, says. Yeah.
Well, I'm just searching and to the drive. You're saying it's with the numeral or without the numeral?
No. It's T-W-O.
Right.
T-H-E.
Okay, found
you. Got
I-V-E.
You could buy the presumably the two as well, couldn't
if it's
you?
Available, yes. You could have the number two and then the drive after that.
I'll look into that.
Yeah, it's probably worth looking into. So before you make a massive change and buy a new domain and all of that, just to see, and then you could have it redirected.
Laura, because it's Emily.
I really do feel like that is the thing that's holding it back, because I'm doing really, really well on the market. Got lots of regular customers, but just like that, they say, is that two, as in T-O?
Yeah,
it's
really difficult because you do just find yourself spelling it out
all the time.
Or if you don't get the opportunity to do that, you're wondering whether they're going to find you. Have you got Have you got matching social media profiles with that as well?
Yes, I have. But what I'm thinking is a lot of jewellers, they just use their name.
Do you know, I was literally going to ask you, what's your surname?
Morgan.
Laura Morgan. Because that, to me, when you said jewellery, and I thought the most natural thing in the world would just be to move into your own name.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I do think is defensible when you're a jeweller, because you can kind of say, you can turn a lovely story into, I'm growing so much, I'm getting so much demand for my custom pieces that I have decided to rebrand in my own name. What is the reason for To The Drive, by the way? Is that your address?
Oh, it's dreadful, isn't it? It's awful. I lack in what I'm good at, what I do, which is I'm brilliant with metals, molten metals, gold, silvers, you name it. But when it comes to thinking of a name, I was just stuck in that.
Oh, it's so difficult.
It is,
we understand.
But maybe going for Laura's actual name would be an idea.
It's funny. I'm a big believer in, if all else fails, go with your own name, especially in jewellery, because it's just steeped in tradition of people using their name and doing phenomenally well on the back of it. So I have to say, you've got a great name. I would be tempted to say that it's the story of expansion. It's the story of success. You're changing into your own name. And here's my jewellery brand launched.
And I would have thought, for the small price, you might as well buy it anyway.
Oh, my God. Have you literally just checked to see if it's available?
He's doing your hard work for you. This is
Laura,
brilliant.
I would suggest you do that. Thank you very much. We'll take more calls for the Business Hour in just a moment. A reminder of the number 0345 6060 973. Actually, just quickly, the call from Battersea where we couldn't hear the line. The question was, as a complete newbie, what is the best way to approach and research a business loan? Could you give us an answer to that?
Yeah, I'd be very happy to give an answer. It would be good to know a little bit more as to whether Mike is starting or growing his business. So if you're starting...
I don't know. He says complete newbie.
All right. So starting, right. In which case, there's loads of options. There's one called Startup Loans, which is a government organisation, which is a personal loan. So they lend up to £25,000 per director, but you have to pay it back. And I think it's at 6% interest. There's a wonderful new way of raising money called crowdfunding. I don't know what Mike's business is, but it works particularly well for jewellery businesses and food and drink businesses, so kind of product-based businesses. There are the banks. We just heard from Richard Davis from TSV that they're out and they're lending. So do consider banks, startup loans, as I say, that's meant for startups, but also have a look at crowdfunding as well.
The LBC Business Hour.
With BT, helping you to be there for the moments that matter in business.
And we're going to go to Samina in Welwyn Garden City. Hello, Samina.
Hello.
Hello. What can we do for you?
I've got a website. I've had it for over 10 years, and it's losing its ranking. Over the past 6 months, it's just going down. It's fast. It moves pretty quickly. I constantly check the keywords. It's mobile friendly, and I'm constantly updating it. So I don't know why I'm losing rankings. In the past... a lot of my pages were coming up on the first page, but now it's second, third. Sometimes you can't see it. Wonder if it helps tell you what sort of website it is.
Yes,
it's
do.
An educational website. So it's learnmarketing.net, and each page is about a certain topic. So it might have something like the marketing mix or smart objectives. And I make money from people clicking on the adverts. If I lose my ranking, ooh, I don't make any money.
Have you got an analytics program connected?
Yes, I've got Google Analytics on it.
Have you had a look in there to see actually which type of traffic it has dropped over time? So whether it's referrers or direct or similar?
It's losing a lot. I used to get a lot of hits from America and the UK. Now, a lot of the hits seem to be in Africa and the clicks aren't worth much.
Interesting. Okay. I would first instance have a look and see which part of your traffic has dropped. So look at the actual acquisition section in your analytics program and see whether it's social media or organic traffic or referrers, and just try and narrow it down a bit more. You are in quite a competitive space term-wise, yeah, I'd say. So have a look at the sites that are coming up above you and try and pinpoint some differences. Perhaps they've got more authoritative content on there.
I've tried that. It's strange because I've lost my ranking, but my competitors haven't, and I don't understand why. And I've even gone into their source code to see what they're doing, and some of them don't even have anything in the keyword section unless they've hidden it somewhere and I can't see it.
Are you doing other things in your digital marketing, not just on the website?
No, I do Facebook posts, Twitter, Instagram, anything and everything I can think of. So I'm running out of ideas.
Yeah, and when you say you keep an eye on your keywords, is that fresh research? So you're looking at what questions are being entered into the search engines?
Not too sure. Would I do that?
Well, it may be that the search landscape for your terms has changed a bit over time, and actually people are looking for answers to different questions to what you originally optimised for. So if you use things like just normal searches and then at the bottom of Google search results page, you'll see Google Suggest, and it'll say actually some suggestions of what people are searching for in connection with that phrase that you've just entered. See if that give you a few clues there.
Okay, good luck, Samina. Thank you very much. Maria in Wealdstone. Hello, Maria.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I'm first time.
Okay.
Hi. I'm a holistic therapist. I've been working at a centre in Wealdstone for about 7 to 8 years. What I want to ask is that I'm not very good at social media. Many years ago, I had asked somebody to do a website for me. I didn't realise that I didn't own the domain. I didn't find this out for the latter part. So it looked wonderful, but I couldn't work with it. I couldn't use it. So I'm not very good with social media, and now I want to obviously set up social media, Facebook, etc., everything that you've said as a website, as well as a website. What's the best thing I can do, because I'm not confident in the sense of getting onto the social media side of things. I do have a lot of referrals as clients, and so I am quite busy, but I just want to stretch and increase my business. What's the best thing what should I do?
So you need to think about where your target market essentially hang out. Where are you going to find the people? What are they using? If that's Facebook, then you need to be on Facebook. When you said that you had a website, but the person that built it owned that domain, is there a way that you can get that back, or did you want to start afresh?
Well, I've tried to key in what my website was called, which was A Precious Touch. That's my business. And it no longer exists. I've tried to key that in for the last, like, month or so, and it's not coming up. Other things are coming up. So
okay, if you
start refresh.
Yeah, there is a site which lists all the registrants of domains. Whois, if you look at that, see if you can see in the public information that's there when it expires. See if it's actually, you know, still registered for a start. And if it is, when it expires, there might be an opportunity to buy it at that renewal point.
Okay. But otherwise?
Otherwise, if you can't get that back, then I suggest you'll have to buy
a new
domain. Mm. Yep, start afresh. But don't feel too bad. It is a mistake that people make where their development company buy the domain for them, and unfortunately they lose it because it's not in their name.
All right, good luck, Maria. Let's squeeze in Seamus in Chessington. Hello, Seamus. Are you there? No, it's gone a little bit quiet in Chessington. We'll see if we can get Seamus back. He was asking about Facebook ads for his business. A lot of people do that now. Is that a good idea?
This is why Facebook results are so outstanding at the moment, because virtually every small business I know is spending on Facebook ads. I have to say, I'm a big supporter of them. We use them at Enterprise Nation because what Facebook is phenomenally good at doing is having deep demographic data. So if you want to target women in Leicestershire who like gardening, you literally can target women in Leicestershire who like gardening. And, you know, you can set your limit every day. If you just want to spend £3, then you can do that. So I'm a big believer in Facebook ads. I'm not quite sure it helps with search engine optimization results, but hopefully it does appear in people's feed and comes to their attention.
OK, let's go to Heidi in Surbiton. Hello, Heidi.
Hi there. Thanks.
Hi,
very much.
Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Okay. I am a jeweller, and my business is called Grace and Coco Rocks, which was named after my two little girls. And I set up my website about a year ago using Shopify, because at the time I was told that actually, in terms of fraudulent behaviour on websites, that Shopify actually pick up the tab. And as a small business, you know, I didn't want to risk any fraudulent behaviour. So to me, that was the kind of most appealing thing about Shopify. The only problem with Shopify, as I now find out, is that it's actually very difficult for people to find me. And apart from the SEOs and doing all of that, which I'm just sort of getting into, and you know, it's a bit of a minefield for me, I was wondering, should I be on something like Folksy or Etsy as a sort of bracket place where people might sort of search necklace and perhaps find me a bit more easily?
It really depends on your the financial side, I'd say, because that's something different. You know, that's a marketplace where you're going to pay a commission.
Yeah.
So if that's another sales trend for you, then fine. But it doesn't really replace your own direct sales, because obviously you're going to make more profit on those.
Okay. And do you think that Shopify in itself, if I get to grips with it, presumably it should be just as successful, even though it's a template website?
Shopify is a great e-commerce platform.
Oh, good.
It is complicated. Yeah, that's good to know. It is complicated for people that can't do development, because it's just complicated, basically, the code and the back end. There's lots of different themes. But it might be worth partnering with a reasonably priced developer to try and optimize it in a clearer way for you.
Okay. All right. That's brilliant. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Heidi. Thank you very much. Quick question from Joe in Dagenham. Are there websites where you can find businesses to invest in?
Oh, good question. There's always
There must
businesses.
Be people looking for the money.
Do you know, there are people looking for the money. I think that's where I would look at the crowdfunding websites again, because if you look at things like Crowdcube and Seeders.com, which are what are called equity-based crowdfunding, so this is where I'm an investor, I put my money in, I hopefully get a return. They are just absolute hotspots of loads of amazing entrepreneurial businesses. Funding Circle is another one. So as an individual, you can put your money into Funding Circle. That's called peer-to-peer lending. So rather than taking equity, you get the money paid back. So these are kind of really good places to go and have a look, because, as I say, they're just teeming with businesses that have got the ambition to grow.
OK, we're out of time, but thank you very much indeed to Rachel Dines from Shake It Up Creative. Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
And Emma, thank you. We'll see you again next week.
See you next week, Clive.
The LBC Business Hour.
With BT, helping you to be there for the moments that matter in business.